The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
The Revolutionary Guard says, this is your final chance. You say you're Muslim, you go free. You say you're Christian, you will die. And to even bring more fear, he looked straight at me, and I have guns pointed to me, and he said, you will be tortured, you raped, and then you will die. It's not going to be an easy death, so make your decision.
With her husband in an Iranian prison, Naghmeh Abadini explains how she has overcome fear and anxiety. Next on Life Today.
Joy to be here with you. I welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to have you. I'm holding a letter from a father in jail in Iran, in prison, to his daughter who misses him. I wish you could hear us, Dad. I wish you could know how much you, as a dad, as a father, as a minister, how much you exalt the father, how much you inspire the witness. Your wife is here with us. I know it's not likely you could see this. I wish people in Iran would just say, hey, let's let this man go see his daughter and son like you'd want to see yours. You claim a devotion to Allah. Surely you can understand devotion. I just ask for a miracle. Mm. Naghmeh is here. Abadini is her last name. I think I maybe passed the test to pronounce your name. Would you welcome Naghmeh to Life Today? We're so glad you're here. We love you. It's nice to meet someone whose last name is even more difficult than Robinson, 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 or whatever they call it. You're beautiful. I may read a few sentences or so from the letter, but he's written you some pretty powerful letters, too. And how are you doing? How are you?
Tired, worn, at times frustrated, but never lost hope. Trusting that, as Saeed says in the letter, the answer of why he's not released this yet is realized in the who. And Jesus is in control, and every day he's in prison, God's using it for his glory and his kingdom. People are being led inside Iran, you know, where he's at, to Christ. And people, God has given me a platform here and across the world for the gospel. So that's what makes it easier. But it's been hard. It's been a lot of traveling and trying to get support and advocating for his release. And as a mom, it's just hard watching my kids suffer.
Let me ask you this. You've spoken probably now to how many different nations, the witness for Christ, as a result of the horrific thing that has happened. And you were already witnessing in Iran, which is your native country, mm-hmm. and his. You found Christ here mm-hmm. in America, and you wanted to go back over there and just tell people how much you loved them and mm-hmm. God loves them, and you met him, and mm-hmm. trouble started for you the minute you met him, because you kind of started having what? Got arrested, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it wasn't like you were robbing banks or something, right?
No.
What were you doing?
We were sharing Christ.
And that's what got you in trouble, just sharing Christ.
Yes. Well, I grew up here. I grew up in Idaho, and I was born in Iran, though, and we moved here when there was a war with Iran and Iraq. And long story short, I felt called by God to go back to Iran in 2001 to share the gospel and show the Muslim people God's love. And I felt that's what will transform the Middle East, is love of God, love of Christ. But I was very fearful, and so I went and I started sharing the gospel with my cousins. And I wasn't really out in the streets. And then a year into it, I met Saeed, and he was born and raised in Iran. He was a pastor. The government knew of it. He was under a government-approved church, He was part of a Bible school, and part of their assignment was to start house churches, and the government was allowing it and was aware of it when I met him. And he was a pastor, and then we just got married. We told the government we're Muslim converts. And while I was afraid, that was one of my, times of arguing with Saeed of, I always say it, my job as a wife is first to argue and make sure he's, make sure
most,
he knows
most
what he's
wives
doing.
Have that divine assignment.
So, but I was a fiance then, but he said, let's go tell the government we're converts and let's just have a Christian wedding. And I said, no, I was always, I never denied Christ, but I was hiding it because I just knew in Iran it's dangerous. But we went and told the government we're converts and that we wanted a Christian wedding. Saeed said I could never imagine having a Muslim wedding and making promises, to the God of Allah. And so we had a Christian wedding. It was central Tehran in front of one of the largest mosques near Tehran University. And I'm thinking only my parents and my sister were coming from the U.S. So I'm thinking maybe 4 or 5 people from my side, maybe 20, 30 people from Saeed's side. Most people didn't want to come because we were converts and they were Muslim. And I see Saeed printing 600 wedding invitations. And I'm thinking, what is he doing? I didn't understand it until the day of our wedding, which we have, the church is packed. It has a balcony, about 500, 600 people. We made wedding favors of Jesus films and Bibles, and they were beautifully wrapped. And Saeed was passing them out, and I was just, I felt like it was not my wedding. I was just watching as Saeed's sharing the gospel. And of course, that night he got into
a
big... He
didn't know he was already married.
It's interesting because this year was 10 years we've been married. Mm. And I was on our 10-year anniversary. It was hard. I was in D.C. and I hadn't gotten really promising news about his release. And I was just feeling sorry for myself. But I was remembering our wedding where he got into so much trouble because I told him our honeymoon, right after the wedding, I was fighting with him. Why did you have to do this? Can we not do ministry for one day? Can we just have a normal, private wedding? It was I wanted small, private. And it was most people I didn't know. It was most sharing. And so he got, and then I remember him smiling and saying, I'm going to give you the best 10-year anniversary. And then it kind of made me laugh, too. I was thinking, well, go figure. He's in prison serving Christ on our 10-year anniversary. And, and so it was just this beautiful start. I look at it now. I see God gave us a beautiful wedding right in Tehran. Revolutionary Guards were circling the church. And we didn't get arrested. But, with Saeed, we had a lot of arrests. But we were always let go from either we were, had Bibles and were giving Bibles, transferring Bibles to house churches, or if we were sharing the gospel with someone. But one of the instances that really that touched me at that time, and then I'd forgotten about it until recently, was a time where we were arrested, and we had a house church leader who called and said, I'm scared. I feel like I'm being followed. I feel like something bad is about to happen. Can you come to my house? And so we went to his house at midnight to, to be more discreet. And as soon as we knock on his house and he comes out, these revolutionary guards, which are the radical, terrorist group, they attack us. They put us in these cars and they take us down these alleys. And they take us to this interrogation place that was room after room. In the middle is the courtyard. And they moved us from room to room to room. In the final room, there was this big guy with a beard. He was the boss of this place. Everyone respected him. And I'm sitting here, Saeed's next to me, and this house church leader is next to Saeed. And the revolutionary guard says, this is your final chance. You say you're Muslim, you go free. You say you're Christian, you will die. And to even bring more fear, he looked straight at me, and I have guns pointed to me. And he said, you won't be with your husband. You'll be in a separate cell. You will be tortured, you'll raped, and then you will die. It's not going to be an easy death, so make your decision. In that instant, I was really thinking, oh, I've been a Christian, gone to church a lot, and how much do I really believe Jesus is real? This gun and this interrogator is real to me. Long story short, I felt the Lord say, don't deny me, I will protect you, I will deliver you. And so I opened my mouth, and it wasn't even me, because I didn't have the strength to say it. I feel it was the Lord. Just spoke from, faith, gave me faith for that moment. And I said, I'm a Christian. And this interrogator got angry, and he said, your testimony is the evidence against you. So I gave my testimony. He said, you were westernized, you know, by America. And he was getting angrier. And then they heard Saeed's story, and he was born in Iran, raised in Iran, very strong Muslim family. His mom was still teaching at the mosque. And he had a powerful conversion where he saw Jesus, where he had a vision of Jesus, and Jesus had told him, you know, he'd woken up in the middle of the night three times. The third time he heard, every time he heard a voice say, Saeed, I'm coming back soon. Go preach my gospel. And the third time he said, amen, he saw the back of Jesus walking away. So he was describing his conversion story, and this guard was beyond angry. I felt like Stephen, he was going to kill us right there. He wasn't even going to let us go to prison. And then he just closes our cases, take him away, you're done. As we're walking away, he seemed shaken, or he seemed to be struggling with himself, and he looks at Saeed and says, I need to talk to you. So he takes Saeed to the courtyard. They're talking. About 30 to 45 minutes later, they come out, and he's crying. I mean, he's trying to hold back tears. He's sniffling, and he says, can I have a Bible to us as we're leaving? And so, I'd forgotten about it because it happened in 2004, and Saeed was taken in 2012. And during that process, we'd come to the U.S., you know, from the time we got married, and then we left Iran in 2005 when Ahmadinejad became president. Churches had grown to a few thousand believers all over Iran, 30 cities and so on. And so we'd had our two kids, my daughter who's just turned 8, Rebecca, and Jacob who turned 6. And so we lived here, and then when Saeed was taken, the Lord said, remember when you were about to be killed. You had a gun to your head. I delivered you. Your husband Saeed's time is not in the hands of the Iranian government. It's in my hands. And yes. I will deliver him the time. Yes. Yes. He needs to be delivered. The first week he was taken, I was in the U.S. I got a call from his mom saying, they came and took Saeed. They took him. We don't know where they taken him. The first week, we didn't even know if he was alive. Yes. And that's when the Lord spoke to me and said, he's in my hands. Don't worry. Yes. You know, no government owns his life. The second, I will protect him. And the minute he has to go, I know the time he's supposed to be on this earth. And so it was freeing to know God is in control. And that story really touched me. You know, remembering that story really gave me a lot of strength.
Would you just like to say thanks? Mm-hmm. I would just say to you feel impressed in some particular way, you want to help her, then you let us know. Tell us what you want to do. And I will say this, and this is just something that I'm just sowing a thought. There are, even for the people in Iran to survive, there are certain things taking place in market interaction that even a compassionate businessman who you may say, well, he's strictly market-driven. That's all that drives his mind, which is simply not true. Of much, if not most, of people who are in the free market enterprise, who just know freedom gives us an opportunity to be overseers and stewards and produce and meet needs, produce product, meet needs, whatever. You may have a connection, something going on in Iran that you know if it stopped, people would really suffer. And they know that. It's providing something. It could be a necessary service that you would want every child to have access to, every family to have access to. No matter how much you don't agree with what they believe. But you know that's important, and you might be impressed. I just sow this thought to simply say to those individuals you're working with, I care about you, and I want you to do something for what I'm doing to keep business with you. I want you to release this man. Mm. I want you to do that. Now, I'm sowing a thought. I want believers to take it to God in prayer. Because I'm telling you that there are ways that even, if you'll remember, when we are at war, we are many times saving the family members of the very enemies who've been trying to kill us and trying to help their children go to school. That's not just the American way, that's compassion. But the situation in the Middle East is very, very tenuous. It's very delicate. But this situation's serious here. And so I'm just simply saying that to you. You want to help her some way? Let us know. You want to send her something to help her? Don't hesitate, tell us. We'll be a channel, because that's what we do. We release the river of God's life and love all over the world, because that's what he said, there would flow out of us rivers of living water. So don't hesitate to tell us here at Life. I want to just read a couple of paragraphs. This is to his daughter. This is Rebecca, right? Mm. You've prayed so many times for my return and I'm not home. And there's the big why you referred to a while ago. Why Jesus isn't answering your prayers and the prayers of all the people around the world praying for my release and for me to be home with my family? The answer to the why is who? Who is in control? Lord Jesus Christ is in control. He said, Rebecca, this Jesus isn't some religious ideology. This is a relationship I have with the living God through Jesus. He's our friend and our Savior. I desire for you to learn important lessons during these trying times, lessons that you carry now and for the rest of your life. The answer to the why is who. The confusion of why has all of this happened, and why your prayers are not answered yet is resolved with understanding who is in control. Lord Jesus Christ, our God. That's talking about trust, isn't it?
Mm.
How did she receive it?
Just, she looks for anything and everything from Daddy, from, you know, what he says. It's really valuable to her. But it's teaching her to trust Jesus and to know God's in control, and he's using all of it for his glory, and it's worth it. Jesus is worth the cost of following him. And it's teaching her a big lesson in her life that, you know, whatever you, Jesus is worth us giving our life for him. It may be imprisonment, it may be dedicating our life to serving him, and you know, whatever it may be, he's worth it. He paid the price for our sin on the cross, and he's worth our life.
I said to many people after they lost a loved one, don't ask why, you'll never get the why answered. Ask, what do you want to do with it? Mm-hmm. He's saying who it is that's in control and love him. Well, what does the one we love want to do with it? That's what we have had to say after we lost our daughter, Robin. There was no reason for it, for a precious, seemingly perfect girl to lose a battle to a disease that we know God heals. And the thing that I've been able to draw from it, Nagma, is that I've been able to realize how many people hurt. Mm. People need to be set free, but they also need their broken heart bound up.
Mm-hmm.
As so many broken hearts. It's the first thing Jesus said in that great liberty phrase, setting captives free, bind up broken hearts. He's bound your heart up. You talk to us in private about the liberty he's giving you over fear, and the peace is all over you. So what do you want to do with it? What do you want to do with our lives? I think that's what you ask. And I'd like to encourage you to just ask that right now. Mm. What do you want to do with me? What do you want to accomplish? And I pray God heals your broken heart. He's got a purpose for all of us. Would you just join and say, praise God and bless you.
Yes.
Nagma, we love you. Saeed, we're praying for you. I want to ask you to do something really, really important right now. I want you to turn your gaze, and I want you to look and see what I believe Jesus sees and will reveal through a precious woman, gifted musician who lost her husband in a very brief marriage, a swimmer who drowned. But I want you to hear the heart of God being expressed, and please listen. God cares, but who is it that expresses effectively what he wants to happen because he cares? Watch very closely and listen. Listen to God, not just Tammy.
It's something you hear about, but it's something you don't see every day. This precious little child fighting for her life with every breath that she tries to take. I can hear it. She is the literally dying in front of our eyes. Not because of a disease, not because of a virus, but because she has no food. Her body is frail, she's breaking down. She's fighting right now to live. Just one bowl of food a day, could have kept this little child from being in this bed in this moment. It amazes me and it blows me away to think that it's that simple, that there is something that we can do. But if we don't, then we'll see hundreds of thousands of more children just like this because of malnutrition.
I know you could hear the child trying to get a breath. Just weak, not disease there. Hungry. I said hungry. Starving. That's real, real poverty. That's undeniable need, but this is a need that can be met effectively. Food, nourishment, that we will put in a heat-resistant bowl that you, the viewers, years ago said, don't let those kids bring tin cans and plastic bags that the food just burns through. We want to give them a bowl. The missionary said, no, we got to feed them. These kids are starving. We don't care what they come. And the viewer said, no, to the missionaries. No, we want to give them the bowls. That's called love. And so what I'm asking you to do now is I'm asking you to respond to the love of God, but I'm asking you to take advantage of the love of God expressed through some of our friends who know the need is so great in drought-stricken Angola and other places. And the children are dying because they didn't have a food line, and the missionaries have found the place to feed them to stop this process, but we need the food. And some of our wonderful friends said, well, we'll give a matching gift of $1.5 million. That's how desperate it is, and we'll do it. But we want to ask everyone who's watching to give the largest gift they can. We'll match it. This is the largest challenge gift like that we've ever had for a feeding program. I mean, this is basically a cash gift to match what you give. So here's what I want to ask you to do. It's a miracle. Stop that cycle. See those mothers' tears wiped away and children saved and have a future. I want you to reach out and touch someone literally with the love of God. Go and get your checkbook or your bank card and dial the number there that's a prayer line for people who have a broken heart or need prayer. Always there. And at least 80% of the calls that come in, no matter how desperate the need, are always people calling, pray for me. And you better believe it will, because the call's paid for by love. We want to help you. But I'm asking you to reach out today, and if you could make a $100 gift, we can feed 10 children for the next month, but now it'll be 20. 30, 50, 100 feeds 3, 5, or 10, but it'll be doubled to 6, to 10, and 20. If you could possibly give $1,000, it'll not just feed 100, but 200. And we have some beautiful gifts we want to send you. But the greatest gift is what you're going to be doing for these families and these children. And you're going to be expressing the love of God, because I'm going to tell you something. These missionaries are going to let these people know the source of that love. It's God. It's Jesus. And they're going to show it in deed, not just word, in action. Thank you for making that call. Thank you for making the gift God put on your heart. Thank you so much. If you want to go online, lifetoday.org, you can make your gift online, and many people do that now, and we thank you.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With all of our previous reserves gone and Angola facing its worst drought and food shortage in 20 years, we need to immediately replenish our funding and supplies for our feeding programs. As an answer to prayer, a group of Life's Friends have set a $1.5 million matching gift challenge for Mission Feeding. This means your gift today can have a double impact. $30 to help feed three children will be double to impact six children. $50 to help feed five children will be double to help save 10 children. $100 for 10 children will be double to help feed 20 children. And $300 for 30 children will be double to help feed and minister to 60 children. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you All Things New, a daily devotional with an inspirational music CD. With your double impact gift of $100 or more, please request the NIV Larger Print Reference Bible. Finally, please consider a double impact gift of $1,000 and request our commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or go online today and make your gift of life to help feed and care for hungry children.
You know, we're expressing the truth in this word. We actually are to bind up his word in our heart, and it's to be a testimony in our lives. But boy, this is a beautiful gift to you for giving life. We want to send you this beautiful Bible, of course, the devotional book from many of our guests that they're great inspirational testimonies and stories. We want to say thanks to God for Nagma, for Saeed. We're praying for a miracle. Somebody watching may be that source. Somebody that's doing a lot for the people that's so necessary. More than a market. It's meeting needs. You might just say, I'm doing something for you in business. I want you to do something for me. Release this man and others. All right? Are you glad that you were here? You appreciate Nagma. Thank you. We love you. You're a blessing. You are a witness. You are a light. Thank all of you for watching, and we thank you so much for reaching out and touching someone with God's love. You be a witness, a faithful witness.
Family was on their way home when tragedy struck.
Jennifer was a Glasgow scale of 3 at the wreck, and doctors said she'll never live through the night.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.